lady had locked her keys in her car one day, and she was frantically trying to get the car unlocked with a coat hanger. She didn't really know what else to do, so she began to pray and try to figure out really what to do because she was having such a difficult time. And all of a sudden, the guy rode up on a motorcycle, tattoos all over his arms, tattoos all over his face. And he asked her, he said, what's going on? What's the problem? She says, well, I've locked my keys in my car. And he said, it won't take me but a second. So about 15 seconds later, he had the car unlocked, and she was sitting in the car. She prayed to God. She said, Lord, I thank you. You not only sent someone to help me, but you sent a professional. So. Over the last couple weeks, we've talking about a series entitled Under Wraps. In the first week, we talked about God is expectant. Second week, we talked about God is dangerous, and it's like, whoa. What do you mean God is dangerous? Well, he is. If you missed it, it's on the website, www.rossumc.org. This week, you know, when we talk about God being jealous, we shared a little bit about it on Thursday evening in our class then. But God is jealous, but he's jealous for one reason. I'll tell you what that reason is in a second. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, if you must fear the Lord, your God, and serve him, then you take an oath and you must use only his name. What Moses was saying to the Israelite children was, you serve God out of reverence. We don't serve him out of fear of being scared to avoid hell. We don't serve him because we want to avoid eternal damnation. But he's saying we serve him because we love him. And we fear that reverence and awe in a proper way, not in a fearful way, but in a proper way, in like a reverential affection for God is what he was saying. And he was trying to tell the Israelite children, he said, look, God brought you out of a state of bondage. You were in misery. And what he's brought us into is liberty, a glorious liberty, something different than it was when you were over there in Egypt making bricks. And making bricks with straw and clay and all that stuff. And remember when Pharaoh took your straw away? You don't have to go through that anymore. We're in the promised land. God took you out of Egypt and brought you here. He took you out of a place of misery into a land of plenty. And so what he's saying is that we should serve the Lord, and we should want to serve the Lord for his goodness and that fear in a serving of him. But he goes on to say, in the second part of that verse, when you take an oath, you must only use his name. What he was saying at that time was that you shouldn't just easily decide that you're going to take an oath or easily decide that you're going to promise someone something. But if you're called to testify or you're called to swear an oath or make an oath against someone, you should only do it on the name of God, in the name of a living God, but not in any type of idol, but only do it in a true and living God. And that's what he says, when you take an oath, you must take it on his name. So we celebrate Christmas by purchasing gifts for each other. As I said earlier in my prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't care. He says to what? Be a cheerful giver and enjoy giving. So I don't think he cares if I buy Cindy, you know, something, you know, at Walmart for Christmas. I don't think he'll care. She said it's been 10 long years, and I said, no, I got the last word. But I really don't. That doesn't bother God, I don't think. But the question comes up on Jesus' birthday, shouldn't we be giving him gifts? when we really stop and think about it, because it is his birthday. So the question I posed before is, what is the greatest gift that we can give him? It's ourselves. It's our lives. It's our opportunity to minister. So we should give gifts to him. That's the question that arises, and that's also the next slide. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we should be doing, because that's why and what God wants. He wants his absolute very best for us. He doesn't want us to live a mediocre life. And we're going to, and I mentioned to Nancy, we're going to share a little about Operation Magi and some of the people that came in. And some of the opportunity that everyone in here had to serve those people and to give to them a little bit later on. The question that predeposes that, you know, that idea there, shouldn't we give him gifts because he wants the absolute very best for us, is what distracts us from what God would really have us to do? How can I do it better? Maybe what I do, I can do it a little bit better. I can make a change. I can do something a little bit different, a little bit better. How can I better love Jesus? And it's not about Operation Magi. That's good, and that's honoring him. But it's that first question. Shouldn't we give him ourselves? And we should do that. We should do it with our whole heart. We should do it with all of the strength that we have. So the question poses itself, you know, it poses itself, is how's our souls? And how am I growing spiritually, and what can I do to do things different? Those are important thoughts, important questions that I think we need to keep in mind. God is jealous because he cannot do anything for us until we make that commitment to him. And it's an everyday commitment that I make my mind up that I'm willing to serve, or I want to serve God, and we invite him in, you know, into our lives, and we allow him to change us and work through us. What's on your Christmas list this year? We all have them. Reveals our priorities, I think, a little bit when we stop and talk about it. Someone once said that the gyms are busy until about the 15th of February. And then everybody's priority to lose that 40 pounds they put on over Christmas is kind of waned. And they just decide to live with it. I want to take a look at 2 Kings, if you would. And here's why God's jealous and why he wants us, our absolute life. We have a story here of Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah was just about to be taken up from the earth. Elijah was one of the two people in the Bible that never died. And Elijah and Elisha were walking down the road one day, and Elijah says to Elisha, I need you to stay here. God has told me to go to Bethel. And Elisha says, no way. I can see Elisha now saying, no way, man. I'm going with you. You're not going to leave me here. So he ends up walking on, and a bunch of prophets come down from Gilgal, and they say to him, do you know your master's going to die today? And Elisha says, yeah. He says, I know that. But he says, be quiet about it. So Elisha then said to Elisha, he says, stay here. The Lord's told me to go to Jericho. Elisha says, no way, man. I'm going with you. Here come the prophets again. Do you know your master's going to die today? And Elisha says, probably this time. Shut up. Get lost. I can see his probably the same sense of frustration that I would have. And so Elijah says to Elisha, he says, stay here. The Lord's told me to go to the Jordan River. Elisha says, I'm going with you. And so they go down to the Jordan River, and Elijah takes off his coat, folds it. Something about striking the river or stepping into the river. You got a dry path across the river. And they had a dry path, and they walked across the other side. And when they walked across the other side, Elijah looked at Elisha, and he said, what do you want me to do for you before I go? See, I think Elisha was looking for God's absolute best that he could get. And I think Elijah was looking to give him his absolute best. Because what he said to him in essence is that if you, what Elisha says, well, I want a double blessing and I want to, in essence, do twice what you've done. And Elijah said to him, tell you what, you stick with me and you watch me. And as long as you watch me being taken up from the earth, you will have that blessing. But if you don't see it, you miss the blessing. And I really think that's why Elisha was not going to let Elijah get out of his sight, because he was going to get that blessing. What's really funny, and as you go on and read the rest, a little bit more of the story, after Elijah was gone, the Bible says that Elisha left Jericho and went to Bethel. And he was walking along, a bunch of people, a bunch of, I guess, young boys jumped out, and Elisha didn't have a lot of hair, and said, go away, Baldy. This is a New England Living Translation. Go away, Baldy. And he looked at him, and they said, go away, Baldy. And he turned around, the Bible said, and looked at him and cursed them in God's name. And when he did, the Bible said that there were two bears that come out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. Ever read that? I think a pretty interesting story. There's some great stories in the Old Testament. You know, they make great illustrations too. But what happened there was that when Elisha sought God's absolute best for him, God was with him, and no one was going to harm him. So do you think God's jealous if we complain? I'm too fat. I don't have enough hair. Cindy keeps telling me. It's getting thinner back here. She tells me a lot of other things too. But do you think God gets upset with us when we complain about how we look? What's going on in our lives? Things that happen to us? I think the answer is yes. Because you know why? He made us. And he made us just exactly the way he wants us. I don't know why he made me 6'2" tall. I have no idea. I have no idea why he gave me a twin brother that doesn't look like me. I have no idea why he gifted me the way he did. I have no idea. But I'm sure glad he did. And when I was reading this week and studying, I thought, man, it's time to quit complaining. If you complain. I'm not a complainer. But if we do that, I don't think that God's satisfied. We're kind of like snowflakes. No two of us are alike. And every woman out there is looking at her husband saying, thank God. We're not. You ever felt like you've been cheated? Somebody said things about you. If you are seeking God's best and you're after that absolute best, God will not let you be harmed. And I can prove it. So I will. During my career in the business world, I worked for several different people. Three of them were what I described as a five-letter word as jerks. I used a term the other day from the podium up there, sucks, and I said to people at the celebration, I said, you won't hear a lot of preachers say that word. But they were. One guy said to me, well, it was a guy when we moved to Columbus, and he thought it was a promotion, he got a demotion and made comments about things that I had said, which was okay. You know, I mean, that's fine. I did say them. But the last time I heard, he's homeless. The second guy said to me, your performance changed after your son died. You don't want to know what I told him. I'll tell you in private. The third guy, nobody liked. Nobody could get along with him. Nobody could satisfy him. He got a letter that said, you have 60 days to find another job, and you might as well go find another company. Because that was called the 60-day letter. If you are in God's will, no matter what it is, no harm can come to you. Nothing can happen to you. Is there something in our lives that we refuse to give up? Whatever it might be, and I'm not sure what it might be, we might be playing tug of war with God. You know, we pull for a while, and then he pulls for a while, and then we pull back. And then all of a sudden we give it up, but a few minutes later we snatch it back. We're all kind of that way. A lot of times those things happen. One of the things that happened this week was how you, as a church, touched people's lives. And you might think, well, how did I do that? But I had the opportunity Thursday to speak, as Phil mentioned last week, at the High 12 Club. 43 people there. You impacted them because you allowed me to be here. I thought it was a good time. I thought it went well. We had an impact on 57 people with Operation Magi. I don't know what kind of results that's going to bring. But I know it's going to bring results. I'm confident of that. We had an opportunity yesterday to use this church that you built and pay for to host a celebration of life for Aaron Perry. That was personally tough for me. Haven't seen him in Butler County Sheriff's Office, in the jail. Haven't seen him in the River City Correctional Center. It was tough on Chip, tough on Melissa. ~250 people came through those doors to honor him. And I said to him, that heroin is hell. And it is. But I also said to him, if you know someone, you may be that only person that will ever respond to him. And I also said that if you need somebody to talk to, call me. And I had two people. Now you may think that's two out of 250. I was talking to Dan Young this morning when he stopped by here, and I mentioned that to him. He said, well, if it's even one, you know. But one woman come up, a lady come up, and she said, do you visit jails? I said, yeah, I do. My sister's in. She's an addict. Afterward, Robert came up to me, and he said, I don't know whether it's his wife or his girlfriend, but there's three children involved. And his son with him, he was kind of a cute little guy. Well, all little kids are cute. But he was a cute little guy. And he said to me, his name was Robert. He said, I don't know what his wife or his girlfriend, like I said, I don't know. He said, she's in jail. And I was able to tie a lot of things together and become kind of frightening when you tie things together. But I said to him, how long have you been clean? He looked at me and he said, 55 days. I don't know what impact yesterday will have. I have no idea. But Chip said more than several times, people know where we're at. And people know who we are. And so when I mentioned Operation, I would also mention, I want to close with a little bit about Operation Magi. There's some envelopes out there. If you want to make a donation to the Ross County Band on behalf of Aaron Perry, there's some envelopes out there. Pick one up. And if you wouldn't, if you want to just stick a check in there, I'll take it to them. No problem. But we had 10 families come in and pick up gifts. And the very first one said, you don't know how much this is going to help. And so we got to talking, and come to find out she lives up here in Skyview Trailer Park. And apparently the manager left, turned it over to her daughter, and they paid cash, and cash never made it to the corporate office. They had to pay the rent again. So we had no money for Christmas. The second family comes in, and I believe that was the guy that had grease on his shirt. Great guy. Wonderful guy. Talked to him and his wife, and they have 4 children. And we talked to him about church. Well, we talked to each one of them about church. And the fact that, do you go to church somewhere? And a couple of them tried to waffle on me. But we can read people. And he said no. He said they didn't go anywhere, but they knew they needed to. And so anyway, he told me about it. He was telling us about his wife and, you know, and his 4 kids. And so I told him, I said, you know, I mean, we were standing out. The wind was blowing and it was cold out there, and I wanted to get back inside. And I told him, I said, after the first of the year, I'm going to invite you to dinner. I'll take you and your family to dinner. No one's ever done that before. They go, wow. 2 more stories. First one's mine, the second one's Nancy. Third couple came in. This guy probably, I don't know, had, you know, he's kind of gray hair, and we were talking. I said to him, I said, how many kids you got? I mean, I knew because I saw the sheet. But he was telling me he's got a 29-year-old son in Florida, and he's got a 4-year-old. I told him, I said, you got way too much gray hair for a 4-year-old. But we got to talking, and here's a family that I think we can connect with. Amazing. But we talked to all the first 3, they didn't have churches. And they're all within driving distance. That's the impact that you had on people's lives. But Nancy, would you come here for a second? I asked Nancy, I said, I want you to share this. And she said, you want me to cry? I said, well, better you than me. But I tell you, this woman is amazing as far as what she did to get everything going for Operation Magi. But the last couple, or last lady that came in, she had gotten to, she called me and she said, I'm running late. And I said, that's fine, we'll be here. And so I give her directions, and she went the wrong way. And the next thing that we know is a phone call that Nancy takes.
Well, she was crying so hard on the phone that I couldn't understand her. And I finally said, just take a deep breath. And she said, I'm going down 27 and this thing flew off of a truck and it tore up my tire. And I don't know where I am. And I need gifts for my kids, and I know you're supposed to give them to me, and now I can't get them. And I said, yeah, where are you? So when Larry said the school, she was thinking Elda, so she turned the other way, and she was at the BP station. So Larry's got to stay here because another family's coming, so I said, I'll go. Like I could change a tire, yeah, right? So I get down there, and she's standing outside in the cold, and she's sobbing. I mean, just... And she got a hold of somebody. He came, and he said, well, I don't have the money to get you a tire, but...
I think it was your uncle.
Whoever it was, yeah. But he agreed to take it off. And I said, well, you take it off, and we'll go back to the church. and we'll let Larry do some calling. So anyway, Larry found that Walmart would do it for X amount of dollars. So we loaded all the gifts up in my car. I took them to their house, which was pretty bad. Wait a minute. Anyway, so I met him at Walmart, and they couldn't find the tire. They said they had the tire. They said they couldn't find it, and they didn't have it anymore. So I said, okay. So I went out in the car to get my purse to try to root around to see if I had some money, and I went back in, and the salesperson was talking to the manager, and he said, is this the guy that called from the church? And he says, yeah. And he looks at the girl, and he goes, you look just like my sister. And he swipes his family discount card. And so we got it for the price of the cheap tire. But she cried, and she wants to come. But they also found out that they have a baby, but she was embarrassed to tell about the baby, who's 10 months old. So we're going to go get some more things. And because she wants her kids to believe in Santa. They're 5 and 8. But I told her, if they believe in Santa, they've got to know that Santa didn't forget this baby. So you've got to do a little extra shopping today. And they were so grateful. And as I left Walmart, the guy said, why did you do this? Why would people who don't know you do this? And I said, we didn't. God used us as a tool. And it came from the heart. So, not connected with this, I got another telephone call. And it was from somebody we'd helped before, but another church took them. And I said, well, aren't you being helped? And she said, they brought 2 little gifts for one kid, but said they ran out of money, so they couldn't help the other one. So anyway, we got to fix that a little bit, but I just want to thank everybody, because we don't do this as a business. It's from the heart, and thank you.
That's what it means to be in God's will. And I'm thankful to be in a church and serve a church that is open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You are awesome. And from my heart, thank you. Because you're great. After service, we're not making an announcement, but we've got a reception for Lori. And I'm not making a big deal about it. But if you would, kind of let her go first, we would appreciate it, so we could all get out there and tell her thanks. We will miss you, Lori. I want to publicly say that. I've told you that, I think, before, but a lot of other people have said that to me, too. We have no idea what God has in store for you, and we don't have any idea what God's in store for us. But I'll tell you one thing for certain. He's got an answer. That's the thing that I know. If it doesn't come the 27th, it will come, because it's on his time schedule, not on our calendar. It's on his time schedule. Thanks for being here today.